Let's use that he's back mildly, okay? So Arnold is not in the house. Andy was pretty good last week, right? If I played part two, come on, you wouldn't be mad at me. You can go do that on your own, though, but it's good stuff, boy. Sandy and I, yesterday, which was August 5th, I believe, was our 39th anniversary. So we're going to hang in there. We're good for one more year, minimum, okay? It's been, you know, the older you get, youngsters, just tune me out. Just give me a minute. But as we age, we begin to reminisce differently, certainly. And I'd never thought this before, but, you know, we've been married 39 years, and 30 of those years have been spent right here, John, right here in this place called Bay Cities. And I thought, whoa, that's my whole adult life virtually. And my family's grown up here, as many as yours have, and it's just kind of a cool story. For us in our little world, you know, our little pillow talk thing, and that you're basically not welcome in unless I welcome you in, like right now. So there's more. we're excited. We didn't celebrate it. We made a deal. We shook, you know, knocked fit. Not really. You don't do that with your wife, right? But we're going to celebrate it tomorrow. So unless you're in the hospital. I mean, doctor visits don't matter. If you're in the hospital, you can call me. Other than that, forget about it, okay? So today's theme, welcome, by the way. God bless you. It's great to have you here, especially if you're new. If you're not, you know the drill. Today, is that too direct? Okay. Get and stay connected. You don't want to just get connected. A lot of people do that. They'll have a need in their life, and they'll need something outside of themselves, and they'll sort of find their way to thinking about Jesus and maybe a church, and that just wanders away. Life gets busy for every one of us. But get and stay connected. You're going to hear that from Jesus today as a command, and it's pretty simple stuff. This is real, real simple stuff always, I know, but get and stay connected. A Jewish father was concerned about his son, as every father is, obviously. He had not truly raised him to be grounded in the faith of Judaism. So hoping to remedy this, he sent his son to Israel so the boy could experience his heritage face to face. A year later, the young man returned home, and he said, "Father, thank you so much for sending me to the land of our fathers. It was wonderful and enlightening. However, I must confess that while in Israel, I converted to Christianity." Oh, what have I done? The father thought. So in his tradition of his patriarchs, he went to his best friend and sought his advice and solace. "It's amazing you should come to me," stated his friend. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he too returned a Christian." So in the traditions of the patriarchs, they went to the rabbi. "It is amazing that you should come to me," stated the rabbi. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he too returned a Christian." What's happening to our sons? "Brothers, we must take this to the Lord," said the rabbi. They fell to their knees and began to wail and pour out their hearts to the Almighty. As they prayed, the clouds above opened, and a mighty voice said, "Amazing, you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel." She knew that was coming. I know you people. I know you people. I too sent my son. Maybe there's a message here. You don't got to go to Israel. All right? And you're going to hear this from Jesus straight up. So let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you that we can be together and be in this room and attempt in every way we can to celebrate you, to proclaim our love for you in words of music, in the attitudes of our heart, in the thoughts in our mind. And I just pray you'd help us as we pursue you the way you've taught us to, and that you would just grab hold of that inside of our part of our life that we seem to hold so tightly, that somehow you'd help us to release that to you today and to let you be the leader, the savior, the director, the guide, the lover of our life that you want to be. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We ask you to touch each of our lives and to make a difference, that we might just simply do our part. Listen and learn and follow. So we love you, Jesus. Boy, we love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're talking about the commands of Jesus, as most of you know, and they're birthed out of Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he puts a tagline on there that's key to kind of everything, and he says, and I want you to teach them, folks that become my disciples. You can't teach people that aren't my disciples these things, but people that become my disciples over the course of time, I want you to teach them all I've commanded. Lay it out. Get it down, understand it, and give it away. You never teach what you yourself don't know. So our hope is, as we highlight these one a week, sort of, to the best of our ability, that they pop on us and they grab our attention. And I think I asked you 26 weeks ago, what are the commands of Jesus? And you kind of all sat there. And I didn't give you a microphone. Some of you are probably really bright, would have had a lot of answers. But you might not have come up with this list. And what we're putting together is just cool stuff for the rest of our life. Things you can get your hands around. Things you can begin to understand on some level. And say, oh, that's what he was talking about. So hopefully today we'll add to that. Within the command that we're going to talk about today, or the theme of get and stay connected, there are three smaller commands which contain our responsibility to Jesus as they've been laid out. What we're to do, written by Jesus. I'm not making this stuff up. What we're to do if we want to listen to him. Don't go past this. Don't go deeper on me. Don't go biblical on me. Don't go Bible head on me. All right? Just look at what he says today, and just let's do that. And let's start there. So in essence, this is Jesus telling us how to follow Jesus today. So how do we follow Jesus? Three big deal commands, all right? Number one, first in your notes. And we got a little C1 there. That's just for fun, for those that are on the inside. That's command one in the midst of this. Jesus asks us to believe in him. Now, that's no surprise, but let's look at what he says. Really, it's a pretty simple request here. It's not deep, and we've all heard it before. We're to connect ourselves to him. We're to change the path, the way we looked at him into the past, into the right framework. We're to have a right Jesus view, if you will. We're to rethink what he used to be to us and what he ought to be to us, and make a defined decision on who he is to us. So if somebody says, who is Jesus to you? You can tell them. And he simply says these words in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me. And this is to the public at large. Come to me. And there's a lot in this phrase, certainly, but it's move your life towards me. I always encourage people to do this. Every memorial service I do, whether believer or not, or in-betweener, whatever an in-betweener is, you don't want to be an in-betweener. Be a believer. So let's make that clear today, okay? Desire to be with me. Want contact with me. Come to me. Come to me. Need me. That's what he's saying here. I want you to need me. I want you to need me. I want you to make a move. Come to me simply means follow me, believe in me, trust in me in a way you don't trust anybody else. This is Jesus' call that he made a number of different ways, a number of different times. But here it's real clear. He says, come to me. Come to me. Make a change from where you were to where you need to be. And anybody can make that decision about anything. Make a decision. Where should you be? Move from there to where you ought to be. Now check these verses out on the screen. Joe's going to throw them up, I think. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared out loud publicly, I am the bread of life, and it is not gluten-free. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. That's a promise right there. Bam! It was so early, everybody was awake. I love when it happens later in the heat of the summer because at least three people go, whoever comes to me will never go hungry on a spiritual level. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Those are huge, massive promises. John 6:37 goes on a bit later. All those the Father gives me will come to me. There's that same kind of thing. And whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. So this is a welcome mat from Jesus. You want to come to him, you can come to him. Anybody. I don't want to hear an excuse. He's available. He says, come to me. And I'll never drive him away. Not based on performance, not based on your past, not based on future failures. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven. This is Jesus telling his story. Not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. I'm here to do what God, my Father has told me to do. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those who he's given to me, but raise them up on the last day. I will take care of their eternal life. They don't have to. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him shall have eternal life. Boom! There it is, the greatest promise ever given to mankind. And so many will just blow right by it and say, I'm not sure. I don't want to be bothered. I got more important things to say. And I will raise them up. Me, I'll take care of it. You don't have to do it yourself. I'll raise them up on the last day. Acts 10:43, Paul jumps in here. And he says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone, everybody who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the real payoff of salvation. I mean, you get to love Jesus. You get to honor God's work. You're doing the right thing. Your life ends up blessed. You end up leading a better life. Jesus will give you a better life and make you a better person, way beyond what you could ever do, even though you think you're special. You get this. Everybody who believes receives forgiveness of sins through his name because he died for him. This is it. This is the bottom line of the gospel message. And it all starts when we're willing to, when he says, come to me. And we go, I'm willing. I'm coming. Jesus, here I am. Here I am. One time when Michigan State was playing UCLA in football, the score was tied at 14 with only seconds to play. Duffy Doherty, Michigan State's coach, sent in a place kicker, Dave Kaiser, who booted a field goal that won the game. When the kicker returned to the bench, Doherty said, nice going, kid, but you didn't watch the ball that you kicked. After you kicked it, you didn't watch the ball. And a coach knows his guys. That's right, coach, Kaiser replied. I was watching the referee instead to see how he'd signal it. I forgot my contact lenses and I couldn't see the goalposts. Don't ever tell me that again. I forgot my contact lenses. Playing UCLA in a bowl game. All right. Knowing what to do with Jesus is key. It is. We talk about him a lot around here, obviously. Knowing how to access him is important. Knowing where to find him is crucial. And Jesus says here, Jim, and every one of your first names, will you come to me? Will you come to me? And not do it alone. Not try to handle it on your own, but come to me. And he's asking us to choose him, to accept him, to join him, to trust him. And I just say, let's do it. Let's do it. But Jim, all my friends, they don't care about Jesus. Well, I'm sorry for your friends. I wish they would. I wish they could. I wish they'd listen. I wish they'd be here and like it. But for you, you make sure you have come to Jesus. Whatever that looks like, get it done. Come to me, and this is what you get, Jesus says. And it's a simple four-letter word, a good four-letter word, rest. Number two there, tired folks get rest from Jesus. That's what he says. That's what he promises. boy, it's good to be back. You know, you miss a week and you go, am I ever going to do that again? So many today, and you know, you've been one of them at times, are worn out, stressed out, full of fear, anger, anxiety, stuff going on. It's normal in our culture. It's just normal. I don't know if it's the demands, the expectations, the personal ones, or the others that are given to you, but not a lot of people are at rest in the midst of a full life. And I mean, that ought to be a great goal. Can I be rested in the midst of a productive life? Can I be okay? Can I get up on Monday morning and, you know, what is this rest? It's deep, what he's saying here. Let's look at it. You ready? Verse 28. He says, all of you, not some of you, but all of you, if you're willing to come to me, who are weary, and weary means to labor to the point of exhaustion. Not just labor, but you're done. You're cooked. Put a fork in it. If you're weary, emotionally, physically, however that might come, and burdened. These are two separate issues. You're worn out, and then you got all these burdens. You still got to carry that big, huge backpack with a full wheelbarrow. And you're done. Ideas, those who carry a heavy load and need help. That's who Jesus is referring to here. Those who need God in their life, whether they know it or not. Some people are living life at breakneck speed, and they don't have any help. They're just doing it on their own. God has no room for self-sufficient people. If you want to be self-sufficient, God probably won't fit into your strategy for life. You got to recognize your need. You got to admit, I am not Superman. And for most of us, that is not that hard. But let's go on. All of you who are weary and burdened, Jesus says, me. The one where God became man and died for us. I will give you rest. Another clear-cut, simple promise. I got something to give to you. I got a gift. Me personally, Jesus. You will experience rest. If you'll really come to me, you will. It's available. Rest is peace on the inside, a loss of at least a certain level of anxiety. You may have trained yourself to live with anxiety based on your past for whatever reason. An emotional sense that you don't have to fix everything. Life can go on, and that part of the garage may not get completely finished. Whatever your little finished corner is there, you know, in life. An emotional sense that you're just going to be okay. A relinquishing of human control, a godly kind of contentment, even though you don't have everything you really want. And these things over here have great concern in your life for good reason, by the way. But you can manage them now because you have a sense that God is with you in them. You're not alone. Rest is being refreshed, being revived. Where you weren't, you were kind of down and out, and now you feel like you have some oxygen to deal with, some energy to carry on with. Jesus wants worn out people. So if you're riding high and everything is cool and life is perfect, emotionally sometimes people can get in a place where they don't have interest in him. Worn out from trying to follow religious leaders. You ever do that? You just try to do what you're told, thinking that what you're told or who's telling you, trying to control you. Don't do that. Worn out from trying to be good enough for heaven? You aren't. Let me tell you, you are a miserable failure, as I am, for being good enough for heaven. I mean, just get honest with what goes through your brains, boys, every now and again. From past failures, from life challenges that face you that you really can't, I can't fix that one. So you can live transparent, you live honest, you don't have to spill the beans to everybody, but you can be real with Jesus. He says, look, you need me. Okay, got it. Jesus says, I can give you rest. Those are his words. We're not making that up. And if you think through it, do you have whatever that rest might be inside of your heart? I'm talking way beyond salvation here. I'm talking about the daily energies of life, week, your month, your seasons that are coming in your life. Are you just doing it all on your own muscle? All on your own. You don't have to. Jesus says, you'll find something different in me. You don't have to fix everything. Just come to me. Come to me. We'll work it out. And if Jesus is new to you, don't miss what's most important. Just start following him. I'm not saying rest is going to hit you by 6 o'clock today. But it might. But when you start following him, just watch the peace level begin to go up. And then maybe take a month off. No, don't do that. Number three, let's keep moving. C2. Is that kind of cool? A little inside the beltway thing there? Jesus asks for submission. He really does, and pretty directly. Salvation and connection to him involves submission. And we don't want to pull back from this. For Jesus to be in his right role in our life, as master, as leader, as Lord of our life, for Jesus to lead our lives, it necessitates or demands submission. You don't get it for free. You got to make some moves, and I think he's hinting to that here. In Matthew 11, verse 29, what are the steps to this rest? First would be to come to him. Second step in verse 29 would be to take my yoke upon you. This is a movement nobody can talk you into, nobody can force you to do, but this is a responsibility I believe we have and Jesus has given to us that you ought to take. Connect yourself to me. Willingly link yourself to me. I'm not going to force you. Jesus says, I'm not going to grab you and put you in this thing, this harness, if you will, and make you be close to me. No, you can get out anytime you want. This is not prison. The yoke was part of a harness to pull a cart or a plow or a beam or whatever load was needed. The yoke, one man wrote, was a wooden frame used to harness together a pair of oxen at their necks so that they could pull a plow or some other load. It was a balancing device. Sometimes a younger ox needed to be taught to work and thus was paired with an animal of more experience so they would carry most of the load. The young one wouldn't even realize. This beautifully illustrates our relationship with Jesus. As we walk by his side, sharing the yoke and the burden, the load does not disappear, but it is made lighter because he bears the burden. A student would be referred to back in biblical times as under the yoke of his master. In other words, he stayed in charge. He protected. He trained. He taught. And Jesus is saying, will you be by my side willingly? So I'm not going to lie. This is a serious command from Jesus. There's no. I think it's very direct. And they would have understood it better than us because I haven't yoked a couple oxen together recently. I haven't done that. But it's just part of the package of following him if you really want to be a follower. Don't just come to him, but sign up, link up, commit by getting next to him. Willingly take his yoke on you. Eagerly take it and submit to it and trust him that he's not just trying to wear you out and work your fingers to the bone. He's trying to train you. A man who had hitchhiked from coast to coast and had walked many miles in the process was asked what he had found as the most difficult thing to endure in his long trip. To the surprise of his questioner, it was not the steep mountains or the dazzling sun or the scorching desert heat that had troubled him, but in the words of the traveler, it was the sand in my shoe. The sand in my shoe. And maybe you've traveled a long distance in your life. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what you've been through, but we've all got our own story. That's really clear. And you've done a lot of it without being yoked to Jesus. Maybe you didn't know enough. Maybe somebody didn't guide you. Maybe you just didn't understand or you didn't want to. You want to be on your own. You're fiercely independent. You want to do things your way, not Jesus' way. Maybe it's a little thing like that that will change everything. And maybe now you won't only get a hop in your step, but you'll get peace and rest in your heart. And you'll live and function to a different tune in life. And maybe even people around you will begin to see it and at some point go, what happened to you? In a positive way. In a positive way. Number four, let's keep going. C3, this would be the last little baby command in these verses. Jesus asks us to be learners, to be learners. Command three today is going to be learn from me, as he's going to say in verse 29 in a moment. Allow me to be your discipler. That's what he's asking for here. Don't only come to me, don't only be yoked to me, but now learn from me. Let me be your teacher. Be a student of mine. And so my question, I guess, up front before we jump into this, have you done that? I mean, a lot of you come to church week after week and you hear about him. Doesn't seem like a bad step to me. But what are you doing personally to be? If Jesus had an appointment with you at Starbucks at 190th and Anza this week, Tuesday, 10 o'clock, just you, just sitting there in a corner, he's got this cool-looking robe. And he looks at you and uses your name, and he says, well, will you start learning from me? What would you say? Yes! Obviously, if it was Jesus at Starbucks. So what have you been doing? What's the last 6 months look like with you learning about Jesus? I'm not here to confront you. I'm here to make you think. And to move. And to ponder the availability of what's really there for us. And what Jesus really asks. I'm not stretching any words here. We're not working hard to find this stuff. So verse 29, he says, and learn from me. Become a student of mine. Right? Let me coach you in life. Listen to me. I'm only going to bring good things to you. I'm not going to bring bad stuff your way. I'm not going to load down your bucket with some junk. Right? So what is your plan? If you had to articulate it today, of you individually at your age and this place in your life that you're learning from Jesus. Give me your strategy in your brain. What are you doing? What are you doing? Do a daily quiet time? It's cool. Does it have any Jesus focus to it? He says, learn from me. How fascinated are you by him? How often do you talk about him? You see, don't talk about things you don't learn. You learn something new, you love to talk about it. You want to question it to death. You want to figure it out, baby. You want a graph. I want some notes. What if y'all went and bought a journal today? And you said, I'm going to learn the last half of 2017 some new stuff about Jesus. New stuff about Jesus. And you went on a hunt for you in your life, wherever you're at, age, understanding, all that stuff. And so you start writing pages. And you fill out 10 of them before the end of the year. People just don't do that. And he says, he said for 2,000 years, will you learn from me? And we just kind of want it to happen. I'm trying to learn the electric guitar. It's really hard. My wife has no mercy. I've gotten this little contraption. This doesn't matter to you. I don't know why I'm bothering you with this. But that you plug in, and then you can plug earphones into because I don't want to lose her. Seriously, poor thing. Oh, why? Because I don't want her to have to pray the guitar out of my hand, so at least I can play it silently part of the time. It's really hard. And so is this. So is this. So is this. It's work. A young boy went to the mall with his aunt at Christmas time some years ago. And he asked her while looking at the Santa display with all the layout. You know the setting. You've seen it many, many times. Camera gear, couple elves, hopefully live ones. Happy Santa sitting there on the chair, little tubby. A line of smiling kids. Great music playing. Just Christmas time, you know, at the right time. in every mall in America. And the kid looks up at his aunt and says, "Where's the line for Jesus?" "There isn't one. And there's not going to be one." And we all understand that. Santa's fun. Santa needs to be in his place. But the kid nailed it. It's a fair question. It's fair. We are in that line today, baby. Because of who we're talking about, what we're talking about, his words. And because we're all thinking about him, we're thinking, yeah, that's me. Boy, to grab hold of Jesus on a deeper level, it benefits so many things in life. So many. Number five, and last here. What followers find in Jesus. He ends this passage or this chapter by describing himself. And he doesn't do this all the time. This is special. This is sort of inside the family info he's going to give us. And what we will experience from him, if we do these three things, come to him, yoke with him, and begin learning from him. It's actually very cool stuff if you play it out. Verse 29, he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." Now, if I said that to you, you'd say, "Jim, get over yourself." But when Jesus says that, we kind of buy it. He's not bragging here. He's telling you the truth like he always does. This is what you'll find when you get close to me, gentleness and humility. It's what will end up being your experience. If you experience anything else, by the way, it's not me. Now, how gentle and humble at heart were the religious leaders of the day? Zero. None. My way, he says, is never harsh and demanding. That's not how I function. So when Christian ministers get harsh and demanding, they've just left Jesus in the trunk, out in the parking lot. At least that's how I feel. Doesn't mean you can't be firm with truth and get attention. And I believe he's saying here too, by the way, when you get close to me, yoked with me, and learn from me, you will end up more gentle and more humble in heart. That's what you'll find. That's what you'll become. You'll become like me. That doesn't sound like much of a warrior. Sounds like a beautiful person is what it sounds like. So for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He repeats the same four letters, rest. This is what you get from me. Rest for the inside of your life. Again, to refresh, to be revived where you're worn out and messed up. The idea is the inside of us can rest in God's care and in his promises. And as we link those together, honestly, inside of our being, that something takes over and we're okay. No, even when we're not okay, we can carry on based on our relationship. Our souls are in need of a God. Our souls are in need of a Savior. Our souls are in need of rest that we cannot produce on our own. That's a dilemma. And that's just the truth. And Jesus is saying, let me be the guy. Let me be the provider. Verse 30, he ends with, when you connect with me, what you find is for my yoke, because you're linked willingly. I didn't get you there, and I'm not forcing you to stay there. You're only there because you want to be. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I make life better, not worse. You won't chafe at my yoke. I'll be with you the whole time. And I'll help you in every way I can. And when speaking of this yoke, there's no harshness. There's no demands of works and laws the religious leaders were putting on the people of the day. His message was so different. No enormous load of human tradition that if you don't go through all this stuff, like we see in some religions. If you don't go through all this stuff, you're not worthy. What are they thinking with these words of Jesus? What are they thinking? And what they're thinking is Jesus isn't enough. Jesus needs our help to keep things moving. Just come to me. Just get next to me. Just connect up with me. Start learning from me. And start experiencing peace right next to me. Produced by me. The end. Well, what does he teach us? A couple things. You're pretty silent today. I hope you're enjoying this. I'm just going to assume that, all right? Number one, what Jesus wants from us. And there's three things that are laid out. Come to me, Jesus, means believe. Make a move. If you don't believe in Jesus, it's time for you to wander that way. Take a step. Make a change. The second is to be yoked to me. Submitted, submit, simple. Decide on me. Define yourself by me. Other people aren't going to like that when you do that sometimes. It's okay. It's okay. They can live without rest, and you get to live with rest. And I don't mean that in picking on them away, but you get to live different when Jesus is the leader of your life, period. And then third, learn from me, Jesus. Be a disciple. Be a disciple all day long. Go to work. Ask questions about me. Become a bit of an authority on me. Learn what I've said. Get my commands down. Figure me out. Come at me hard and loving with a willing heart, and I'm going to disclose myself to him, to you, to that person. You want more of Jesus? He's available. He promises disclosure of himself to you as you interact and understand more and more of him. Number two, Jesus teaches us, I believe he's being personal here. A lot of people see Jesus sort of as a doctrine, as a body of truth, as a way of salvation, as a means to get from here to heaven. And all those are true, but that's not what Jesus really offers us. He offers us personalness. He's being very personal in this text, in my mind. He's trying to get on the inside of us here. He doesn't want to keep us at arm's length. He wants us right next to him. He wants us to be literally in him, joined with him. He's opening himself up. He's welcoming us in this text. He's saying, let's get close. Let's be buds. Come on. Come on. Come on, I'm with you. Come on, I can help. I got some good stuff. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Go. Give him what he wants. Why not? Give him what he wants. What he asked for. Just give it to him. And number three, results of following are amazing. As always, rest on the inside of us. This is a dream gift, especially if you've got a challenged life one way or another. A way to deal with the harshness of the world, and all of us have it somewhere, somehow, some way. Just be smart, my friends. Move your life towards Jesus. The more you move your life towards Jesus, the more content you'll be, the more satisfied you'll be, the more at peace you'll be. Get and stay connected. Get and stay connected. Let's pray, huh? Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can be together, boy, and try to figure you out in any and every way we can. Thank you for the kind, personal words today. And I pray that each of us would take the steps we know we need. Not everybody in this room knows what they need to do. And I pray that we'd all just have the courage to do it, the willingness to do it. And we love you, and you are our everything, and there is no more beautiful name than you. So bless us this day. Thank you for time together. We love you in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Yeah, baby. Go. It hurts my heart.